finally felt like a master choreographer. The occasion was my 128th ballet, the Brahms Haydn Variations, created for American Ballet Theatre. For the first time in my career, I felt in control of all the components that go into making a dance, the music, the steps, the patterns, the deployment of people on stage, the clarity of purpose. Finally, I had the skills to close the gap between what I could see in my mind and what I could actually get onto the stage. Why did it take 128 pieces before I felt this way? A better question would be, why not? What's wrong with getting better as you get more work under your belt? The libraries and archives and museums are packed with early bloomers and one-trick ponies who said everything they had to say in their first novel, who could only compose one good tune, whose canvases kept repeating the same dogged theme. My respect has always gone to those who are in it for the long haul. When people who have demonstrated talent fizzle out or disappear after early creative success, it's not because their gifts, that famous 1% inspiration, abandon them. More likely, they abandoned their gift through a failure of perspiration. The Italian physicist Cesare Marchetti set out to define the patterns of our creative lives. Marchetti totaled up the cumulative production of creative works by more than 100 recognized geniuses and found in it an S-shaped curve that mimics the growth curve of all natural life. The curve is flat when there is no productivity. It gets steeper as productivity increases. He charted everyone, from Botticelli to Bach to Shakespeare to Einstein to Brahms, comparing their output against their progressing age. He found that, on average, creative production is limited in our youth when we are learning, hits full stride in our prime middle years, and trails off in our later years when we become exhausted of ideas, energy, and motivation. Note: visual aids found in the print edition of this book are available to you as a downloadable PDF. To access this file, please click on the link on the product page where you purchased this title. Here is his chart for Mozart. Mozart's an intriguing example because he wrote a lot of music, 626 compositions by most counts, and it's all been catalogued as if expressly for chartmakers like Marchetti by Ludwig Kokel, from Mozart's earliest symphony, listed as K1, to his final D minor Requiem, K626. Kokel listed 40 or so minor compositions that may be works of other composers, but his is the universally accepted catalog of Mozart's output. Not everyone cares. Professional musicians generally refer to Mozart's delightful A major piano concerto as the A major. Concertgoers know it as his 23rd, while only the serious librarians among us call it K488. Film buffs may recall it as the Kokel listing a dying Ally McGraw struggled to remember in her hospital bed in Love Story. The only problem: Mozart died young, at age 35. His chart is impressive, but it feels unfinished, cut short. Who's to say how long and how far he would have continued? Although there are some who feel Mozart was tapped out when he died, I am not one of them. I think he was on the verge of a major church appointment that would have provided him with the resources and opportunity to create great liturgical music. But we'll never know. The other problem with this type of analysis is that it turns everyone into a statistic. Applying algorithms to creativity is like biochemists trying to formulate the chemistry of love. It takes some of the romance out of the enterprise. The best that can be said of a chart like this is that it measures devotion to craft. The chart tells you nothing about quality, about whether Mozart's last piece is an improvement on the first or whether the two are linked. It charts activity and persistence, not artistic growth. But let's not knock devotion to craft. There is no long run without devotion, commitment, persistence. My heroes are the artists whose bodies of work are consistently surprising, consistently fresh. Mozart, Beethoven, Verdi, Dostoevsky, Yeats, Cézanne, Kurosawa, Balanchine. They all had stunning early triumphs, and they kept getting better through their middle and later years. The Dostoevsky who wrote The House of the Dead in 1860 is the same writer who wrote Crime and Punishment in his middle years and The Brothers Karamazov in his later years. But he is a vastly different and more profound writer in his later years. He continued to grow. The pattern is even more obvious with Beethoven, whose musical output divides neatly into early, middle, and late periods, each with a distinct style, each representing an advancement of the form. No one who studies his 32 piano sonatas or his 16 string quartets can miss this. It's equally obvious with Verdi, who had more than his share of masterworks before surprising the world with the ineffable Falstaff at age 81. That he was still growing in his ninth decade makes the arc of Verdi's creative output in his early, middle, and late periods stand out in sharper relief. When a man turns out a masterpiece long after his peers and rivals have died, you see anew everything that came before, the continuity, the progression in the arc. The same can be said of Cézanne or Matisse or Yeats. Their later work astonishes profoundly and means more because of how it shows their development from their earlier efforts. These are giants and masters. You surely have your own pantheon of heroes who learned and grew as they pursued their chosen paths. Regardless of how poorly we compare to their talent and quality, we can still emulate them.